Carelessness, spiritual carelessness, is another thing that will open us up to those spirits. This is why I rant and rave and go almost crazy against the lie of eternal security and all those other errors that put people in a state of false security. Because once you allow yourself to get into a state of false security, your life becomes careless. And you begin walking in religious presumption instead of true faith. Your whole life becomes one of presumption, not faith. Okay? Faith is a presumption. Okay? So there's different things that open you up to these kind of spirits. As another spirit, sometimes you don't do anything. Sometimes they'll just come and try and talk to you. And you're not coming to you because you're doing anything wrong. They're just coming trying to get to you. You know, you just gotta, when it happens, you gotta recognize it. You gotta have spiritual discernment. I'll go through that in a second here about the discernment. The next question people ask is, you know, well, how do we recognize those spirits? How do you recognize your religious spirit when it starts coming at you? And unfortunately, it's not an easy answer. I'm sorry to say. You know, much of the ability to recognize these spirits, it only comes through experience and spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment is so important, okay? That's why I'm always encouraging people to ask God to give them a special gift of discernment, a special shot of discernment regarding these particular spirits, because they're very hard to spot, and they're very dangerous, and they're very good imitators of the Holy Ghost, the things the Holy Ghost do to you. You know, they talk all the right Christian lingo. They know how to quote the scripture to lead us away from the truth. They can sing songs about it. They'll go to church and sing songs about Jesus. They'll stand right beside you in a church or in a gathering and sing songs about Jesus. They'll sit in a church and speak in false tongues. They'll prophesy in the name of Jesus. These are very brazen, powerful spirits. They're not afraid of Christianity. They're only afraid of Christ. They're only afraid of that degree of Christ that's in you. That's all they're fearing. They don't fear your religion. They don't fear all your Bible reading. They don't fear all your prayers. They don't fear anything about you or Christianity except Christ himself. And the more you have Christ in you, the more they fear. But very few of today's Christians have Christ being formed in them, unfortunately. Okay? But because they're so brazen, they're not afraid of things of Christianity. They can make you feel a presence in your life that you assume is a spirit, a presence of God, and it's not. They're especially good at working miracles to deceive us. Now, I'm not talking about the big miracles you see in these revival things, sky partying and having 3D visions, all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about little, tiny, small miracles, the little things in your life that you recognize as the workings of the Holy Spirit. Like Jim's testimony. Remember Jim's testimony? He said that verse of the Bible jumped out at him. And then that thing was confirmed through a series of circumstances that was supernatural. He recognized the supernatural. That thing that spirit told him was confirmed, okay? See, the Lord has a way of confirming things in our lives so that we know that they're of him. They're little miracles, the little supernatural miracles, you know? It's not any great healing of cancer or having your legs straightened or, you know, having your teeth filled with gold and all that stuff. Just little tiny things that God does that you know are miraculous and are of him that nobody else knows, nobody else could do, that your flesh can't do, you know, that confirm things he's telling you. For instance, you might get a revelation while you're reading the scripture some night. Just this wild revelation. I mean, not a wild, but awesome. And you think, wow, this is really great. And you're sitting there wondering if that revelation was really from God. And you're asking the Lord about it, and just then another brother or sister, they'll call you on the phone and start telling you that they got the same exact revelation. Well, that's a supernatural working. Okay, that's not just a coincidence. There are no coincidences like that. That's not coincidence. That's supernatural confirmation is being given to you that somebody talked to you. Okay? Now, under no more circumstances, that would be a God. But once you come under the influence of those spirits, those religious spirits, they get a little foothold in your life, they can do the same thing. They can bring forth little miracles, which serve as confirmations to the things they are telling you, to the feelings they're giving you, to the thoughts they're giving you, okay, which will lead you, which are designed to lead you away from the true Spirit of God, all in the name of following God, all right? These are the kinds of signs and lying wonders that the lawless one is going to use to take a seat in your temple. Not having fire fall from the sky, not having, you know, something drastic, wild happen in your life. Little things, the little things that you're used to, that you know of God. Those are the lying signs and wonders the lawless one is going to duplicate, try to duplicate, so he can take a seat in your temple. See, thousands of people who were once solid Christians have allowed another spirit to take its seat in their lives. This is why people like Rick Joyner and all those guys They will never, ever be delivered from the delusion they're in. They're going to go to hell. As sure as my name is Daniel Mace, Rick Joyner will be in hell once all over. They'll never be delivered from the delusion they're in, because every day, every single day, they're experiencing the power of these demons, of these religious spirits. And they become so attuned to them, so one with them, nothing you say would ever convince them that they're following another spirit. See, the lawless one has shown himself to be God in their lives, and they are convinced the lawless one is God. See, when you have Jesus and the Archangel Michael visiting you a couple times a week, and every day you're seeing 3D Technicolor visions, and and every day you're having real supernatural power come on you, and you can heal people, and you're moving in glory all the time. The spiritual realm is just where you live and move and operate. Man, brother, sister, that's a hard deception to get out of. Impossible, virtually impossible to get out of. Those guys are going to end up in hell. I'm telling you, there's no way they can get out of it. That's what this man Lawlessness is doing. He's trying to take his seat in our temple through power, signs, lying wonders. He speak to us. So do something in our life, and he'll try and confirm it. Try and confirm it supernaturally. So we'll think it's God. He showeth. You read the King James Version there. It says he shows himself that he is God. That's how he shows himself. He proves to you that he's God by duplicating, by replicating everything the Holy Spirit does in your life. Now, of course, we have found that these religious spirits do have a few traits that you can spot. I mean, I don't look for that. Personally, when I get around somebody who I believe has one of these spirits, I just know it. I mean, there's something in me that knows it. You know, I don't have a list of traits. I go up, down list and see if this is what they're doing. You know, if they're doing this, they might have a spirit. But I'm just telling you, there's a few things we have noticed that most of the time are part of the person's life when they're under these spirits, okay? So I give you that much to think about, okay? But the only real answer is discernment. That's the only real answer. One of the things you can find a lot of times, most times, not all the time, is confusion. Religious or spiritual confusion follows these spirits. When we've dealt with people over the years who are walking under those spirits, we could actually feel the religious confusion in the room as we start talking to them. You know, there's just a disconnect between their spirit and your spirit, and confusion is a result. You know, so if you suspect that someone you're dealing with, maybe walking on one of those kinds of spirits, you see if you feel confused around them when you're in their presence. See if confusion comes on your mind. If you feel more confused than usual. Or if you feel more confused than usual when you're talking to them. If that happens, it's a possibility that they're walking under spirit. Okay? Another trait we've often encountered in these kind of people walking under these kind of spirits is they have a way of turning things around that you say so that it sounds like you're saying exactly the opposite of what you're trying to say. This is part of this confusion, I think, because there's very often a really big communication problem. You're saying one thing to them, which is coming from the Spirit of God, but they can only hear what those spirits are letting them hear, or those spirits are twisting things that's going into from their ear to their brain, okay? And so many times, they're hearing something completely different than what you're saying. So when they repeat it back to you, they repeat back what you just said 2 minutes ago. It's just the opposite of what you really said because it's been filtered through a demon, all right? If you're dealing with someone and you find that there's a really big, consistent communication problem, they can't understand what you're saying. They can't repeat back what you're saying. They're constantly twisting what you're saying, turning upside down what you're saying. Then it's possible you're dealing with the spirit, okay? Another thing you find when someone's walking under the influence of these spirits is that they will do very strange things and say the Lord told them to do it. But they're not strange in their eyes. They'd be strange things in a normal person's eyes, but in their eyes it's not strange, it's very normal. They'll receive strange and even bizarre interpretations of a certain passage of scripture. But to them, it'll sound perfectly normal or reasonable. You know, when they tell you, you're thinking, man, where'd you ever get anything like that? That is so bizarre, you know. But to them it's normal because their mind's under power of spirit, so it's normal to them. So, matter of fact, many times we've all met people who just seem a little strange or off, you know. So we meet them, we just feel they're a little strange or off. And, of course, we automatically assume that, you know, they may just have some personality quirk, or maybe they have a little mental problem or something. When, in fact, A lot of times they're actually walking in the power of religious spirits. It's those spirits that are making them strange. It's those spirits that are making them a little off. You know, you can feel that offness. You can feel that strangeness when you're around them. But, you know, of course, your first thing is to cut them slack or make an excuse for them. Your first thing is not to say, oh, you're a religious spirit. That's why you're strange. But I'm just telling you, lots of times you are. When you run across somebody who seems a little strange to you, their religious talk, the way they express themselves, might be their views, they're just all a little strange and just doesn't sit right with you. There's a good possibility, not that you're mental, it's not that you're just a strange personality quirk, it's they're under strange religious spirits. Okay, those spirits make them strange. Now, as far as finding out whether or not we, you and I, or, you know, personally, are under or have been influenced by any of these spirits, the only thing I can say is it's a possibility for each and every one of us. It's a possibility. None of us are so far advanced that we can't come under the influence of these religious spirits, especially if we become involved with other people who have had them, or if we listen to messages of certain ministers who are moved on. And that is true for many, many, many ministers. Okay? So it's not just we have to be ourselves walking in some kind of sin or rebellion or we must be evil. Just be careful who you're around, who you listen to, okay? Who you have union with, who you're involved with, who you're accepting in your life as authority, as teacher, or, you know, whatever. Because it's very easy to come in contact with religious spirits. I guarantee you for every 10 people you know, 5 of them have religious spirits. That's just the way it is. These religious spirits are taking over the church. It's infecting everybody. It's like, you know, the body snatchers. These aliens have come to the planet. They're taking over people, and the people don't know. By the time you find out, there's nobody left but you. All right? That's what's going on in the spirit. It's actually going on in the spirit like that. So the best recall is to make sure you pray about the people you're involved with, the people you pray with, you fellowship with, the people you listen to, who minister to you, the stuff you read. Demons come with books. Demons come with articles. Okay? You got to be careful. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is you got just admit, I mean, I admit this, we all have to admit it, that we're vulnerable, that we're nobody special, that anybody can get involved with these spirits if they're not careful. And what you got to do is just, you got to go to God with an open heart. And you got to say, Lord, you know me. You know what I'm involved in. You know my life. You know the people I'm involved in. If I have any spirits in my life, working my life, if I have any of them working, please show me and show me how to get rid of them. Give me discernment so I can spot them. Give me something so I can spot them and help me get free from them. See? If we have the desire to know the truth, then God's going to help us get free from them. The problem is most people have no desire to know the truth. Or else they're blind. They've been blind about all these doctrines. They don't think it's possible for them to have these kind of spirits. If you don't think it's possible to have these kind of spirits, you're never going to say, oh, Lord, you know, if I have one of these spirits, please show me and get out of my life. Never. If you're too proud and arrogant, you know, to maybe you don't believe those crazy doctrines, but you're just too proud to think that you, Mrs. Christian, could have a demon, you know, that'll stop you from being a little bit. You've got to have an open, humble heart and say, Lord, I don't know what's in me. I'm trying to follow you the best I know how. I'm trying to walk in the light I have. Is it something I don't see, especially with regards to religious spirits? They're trying to duplicate, replicate, interfere my life with you. Show them to me and show me how to get rid of them. Okay? See, if we have a desire to know the truth, God is more than willing to show us the truth. He's not going to leave us hanging if we are searching for the truth. He doesn't. He only lets people hang who don't want to know the truth. All right? If you don't want to know the truth, God will let you hang in the end. Not right away. He'll work with you, but in the end, he'll let you hang. He doesn't let you hang if you're seeking the truth and you want to know the truth and you're willing to be humbled and say, God, it might be me. Is it me? Is it me, Lord? You know, like when at the Last Supper, when everybody's wondering who was going to betray the Lord, he said, one of you is a devil, one of you is going to betray me, and everybody goes, oh. Some of the apostles point their fingers and say, is it you? Is it you? One of them says, is it me, Lord? John says, is it me? That shows you the difference in heart, you know? Is it me, Lord? That's the kind of heart we got to have. Lord, I see all these people around me falling away, being seduced. Is it me? Am I one of them? Is there anything in my life that's leading me down that road or influencing me in that way? And if there is, please show me. And if you want to know the truth and you ask God to show you the truth and you're earnest about it, he will show you the truth. I can't how to recognize the spirits. I can't give you discernment. I can't give you my discernment. You know what I mean? But I know God's faithful. I know from what we've been through, all the things we've been through, and the battles we've been through, I know that God is faithful. There is nobody can tell me that God's not faithful. Nobody. I know he is. So, but he's only faithful to those who are humble before him, who are earnestly seeking him. He will not be faithful to the proud, to the arrogant, to the know-it-alls, to, oh, I can't have this, and I can't have that, and I can't be possibly be touched by that, and I'm too good for this, and I'm too good. He won't. He's not faithful to you people like that. People like that, no way. All right? That's why these people getting turned over to demons. Exactly why. The attitude like that, a lot of them. Anyway, so these spirits are very real. It's a time-specific thing. They're allowed to do this at the very last days. It has to do with this prince being let out of the pit. It has to do with the restraint being taken over Satan so the mystery iniquity can come to fullness so the lawless one can take his seat in the temple. All this stuff is combining. It's coming forth. It's happening in our day. We're in a really bad situation. But God is faithful to lead us through, and I believe he will. You know, he says, those who endure the end shall be saved. Right? So somebody's going to endure the end, and somebody's going to be saved. Somebody's going to get with God for real and be saved and protected. Amen? And I just, I'm doing my thing, doing my part to encourage people to be one of those ones. And get all this doctrine out of our heads that will keep us from enduring to the end. And will set us up for the devil. So anyway, that's about it. I didn't have time. That wasn't too long tonight. I just want to wind that down. Now, these religious spirits are very dangerous, though, because they have the ability to counterfeit the things of the Lord. That's what makes them dangerous. Alrighty? Harold says, Jesus said, if you continue my word, you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth I set you free. Amen. Hey, Bill, thanks. God bless you, bro. Sissy. All right. What's up? Anybody? Uh-oh. Look out. I think we have an intruder here. I think we have somebody. The mama has been stirred up. Hang on a second, guys.
Hi, everyone. You know, I was thinking of when Daniel was talking about Satan, telling the truth, and that he'll tell the truth to try and deceive us. Thinking of what he said in Luke, of the scripture in Luke 4. It says, and he brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem, and set him upon a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now that was truth. And he was given that to Jesus to try and tempt him into doing something against God. That was just something I was thinking of. But, you know, I want to share a little something here tonight. When Daniel was talking about the two beasts in Revelation 13, I want to share something the Lord revealed to me some time ago. I'm going to read part of the scripture in Revelation 13, 11 to 14. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of the beast. Now, when I used to read this some time ago, and I read about this image of the beast, the thing that came to my mind right away was something like the beast that Nebuchadnezzar, the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had made, and the people had to bow down and worship that image of gold. And that's this image, this would come into my mind, an image of this sort that Satan had supernatural power to cause it to breathe and to talk. But as I read this not too long ago, realized that it wasn't the beast that made this image. It says he had he saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. He did not make the beast. He was causing the people to make the beast. He was causing the people to come into the image of the first beast. And that makes a lot of difference. He was causing the people of the earth, all those who were not written in the book of life, all those that were not born again and part of God's family, he was causing all those people of the earth to be conformed to the image of the first beast. And just as the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to conform God's people to the image of Jesus Christ, that beast, even now, let me tell you folks, even now is starting to conform the rest of the people who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life to be conformed to that beast. And they will speak and cause as many as will not be conformed to the image of the beast should be put to death. That's something that was really very, very real to me. So it behooves all of us to walk close, very close to God in these days. These are not normal days, and they're going to get a lot more on normal. So that's it. And thanks for listening, and shalom.
Amen. These are not normal days. These are about as unnormal as you can possibly get. Okay, looks like we got Brother Bill. Go ahead, Brother Bill, you got the mic.
Praise the Lord. How's everybody? Brother Dan, that was an awesome teaching. Awesome. It was awesome. It was convicting. Oh, everything you said on the list that the religious spirits do, I do, you know. So it's really scary. But, you know, I'm trusting and believing in the fact that I am born again because, it's just quite convicting, brother. But my question is, would a religious spirit continue to listen? I mean, okay, now we know how, would a religious spirit storm out of a teaching like this, or would they continue in the teaching? I mean, the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So, I mean, would a religious spirit continue in this teaching, or would a religious spirit cause some kind of situation where you can get distracted from the teaching, or that, you know, something to keep you from hearing the word? Because, brother, that was just truly, truly an awesome word, and I'm just really and truly looking forward to the notes. God bless you.
Thanks, Brother Bill. And I believe you're Christian. All right? I believe you're saved, all right? I get the witnesses, you're born again. Just let me tell you this. It all depends how much of an influence that spirit has on you. See? Let me explain something to y'all. The spirit, just because you start coming under the influence of that spirit, doesn't mean he's taking his seat in your temple. Okay? It's a process. And God's faithful to warn people when that thing starts happening, but most of them, because of the teaching they've had or whatever, pride or rebellion, whatever, they just blow over the warnings. So that spirit eventually gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it has taken its seat. And that's when the temple's made desolate. When Daniel talks about he's going to make the temple desolate, or Jesus said the abomination of desolation, make the temple desolate. That's when the temple becomes desolate, when that spirit drives the Spirit of God completely out of your life. Now, until that point, you can still be delivered. And there's, you know, so it all depends. For your particular question, Bill, would a spirit sit in my room week after week? No. If your life was completely controlled by that spirit, or almost completely controlled by that spirit, you could not sit and listen to me week after week. You'd go crazy. Okay? So maybe if you're feeling you might have some of those symptoms I described, that may be a sign you have a spirit working you. It may not. If it turns out that it is, it may not be strong. It all depends how much of a how much it's got a hold of your life. You see what I'm saying? And maybe it doesn't have so much of a hold in your life, so you can come back every week. And as the more you learn and the more you yield to the truth you're learning, the less power that spirit will have in your life. And you're actually getting delivered from it each week. Right? I think if that had control your life, you wouldn't be here more than 5 minutes. Okay, there's now it's possible they could play some kind of game to trick people and deceive people. They do. They're capable of anything. Believe me. But under normal circumstances, if the spirit has become strong in your life, if it's not just a shallow influence, not just beginning, or you know, it doesn't really have a grip on you, but then it's okay. You can stand to hear the truth, and the truth will eventually set you free and get you out from the spirit. If it has a real control on you, you can't stand to be around the Spirit of God very much. You get uncomfortable. You get jittery. You just can't take it, you know. So I think that you're okay as far as if you have something working in you, I don't think it's that strong because it doesn't keep you away from the truth. And I believe as long as you keep searching for the truth, accepting the truth, yielding to the truth, if you have something working in you, it's going to eventually be driven out. Okay? So don't let the devil tell you you're not saved because you might have a problem, you know. Go ahead, Brother Rich. You got the mic.
When I spoke last week about how important it is to just really be aware of these things that the enemy does and the inroads that he has into us, and in light of tonight's word, I want to say thank you, Daniel, for this teaching, because we all need to hear it. I, especially me, and as Bill texted in, we need to walk in this word. I'd like to read a verse of scripture. It's in Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between are both good and evil. And I really believe that especially in my life right now, that's a word for me, that I need to exercise discernment in every area of my life, that I can discern between good and evil and know what the truth is. And I too search my heart every day to make sure that I am in the will of the Lord. I think that, like you said, Brother Daniel, he can have inroads, but as we exercise our discernment and as we walk in the truth, we're going to defeat the enemy. We just need to really put on the full armor of God and stand against the tricks and the lies of the enemy, no matter how subtle they are. I guess that's it. Thank you for letting me speak, and I just wanted to say it's a real blessing to be here again tonight. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for sharing, Brother Rich. Thank you. God bless you, bro. God bless you. Keep pressing in. Listen, if you can hear what I'm saying and believe it, that's half the battle, I'll tell you, because so few people can receive the things I'm saying about these spirits. So few. If you can receive it, and you're asking God to make it real and help you walk in it, I believe he's going to. I do. I just do believe it, because I tell you, most people, they can't even hear it. They think I'm nuts. Joey Boy says, then shall you return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked. That's right, between him that serveth God and this earth and all. Amen. Amen, Joey. Dangerous times, but there's, like I said last week, we're facing the worst time in history, but we got the greatest reward ahead of us if we overcome and get a victory, right? So it's big stakes, big stakes. That's why I'm so serious. That's why I'm such a serious, you know, kind of guy. And I ain't got time for games, man. A lot to lose and a lot to gain. Amen. Well, I appreciate you sharing, guys. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, thanks for sharing again. I appreciate it. And I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise. Be good.